Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, it's been a while. How you been doing?
I'm great, man. We are recording this on July 3rd. Everyone's going to be off tomorrow listening to our Dynasty Blueprint, I'm sure. You just got back from vacation, correct? I feel like we haven't done this in quite a while.
Yeah, we had a long road trip that was enjoyable, but I feel like I'm behind. I really want to talk some fantasy football. And Matt, in my leagues, I run these kitchen sink leagues, and they're really fun because we do auctions. And every month, basically every month of the offseason, we have a different theme of the auction. Sometimes it's free agents. Of course, in May, it's the rookies. But in July, it's the Devy players, these college players.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, college players. We are getting them on our roster before they even hit the NFL. So that's really what July is all about for me in these leagues. And we've got the man to talk about that today. We've got Nick Whalen. He is the author of The Devy Report, and he's also one of the co-hosts of the DTC, the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. Nick, I thought I was going to mess that up. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm good, man. I got the summers off like you, Ryan, so I'm just enjoying the weather, man.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, that gives us a little more time to focus on football. I know for me, that's fantasy football, dynasty, of course. I know for you, that's coaching some football. What are you doing this year?
Yeah, I'm getting back into coaching. I mean, I had that, you know, that college stint, and I did high school stuff, and I walked away from it because I got busy with all this fantasy football stuff. But this year, I'm diving back in a little bit with some coaching and still doing fantasy, and we'll see if I can keep my head above water.
Good stuff.
Well, we are going to talk a lot about Devy and college football players with Nick. Before we dive into that, though, I know, Nick, I've noticed lately on Twitter, you've kind of had some Twitter rants on a couple of wide receivers. It seems like you disagree with their current value. The first one I want to ask you about is a player it seems like is really a hot topic among all Dynasty owners, Allen Robinson. You know, and we know the story with Robinson. He had a great 2015 season. 2016 kind of fell back down to earth a little bit. And it seems like Dynasty owners don't know what to do with him, don't know how to value him. He's still in that late first, early second round range in our Dynasty ADP. Actually, I've got that hot off the presses July ADP for you, Nick. He's the 15th overall player right now. And I know you have some concerns with that. Tell us what you see with Robinson.
Yeah, I've been very anti-Robinson in terms of his value pretty much since he came out of Penn State. And I'm not a numbers guy, as you guys know, but I have some numbers for you. And I actually made kind of two, I guess, Twitter articles, I guess is what I tried to call them, because I don't write for anywhere right now. And that's basically what I'm going to kind of talk about here. So Robinson really is, you know, a tale of two different players. You know, when we look at what happened in 2015, that, you know, that magical year that he had, that really is two different seasons as well. So if we look at fantasy points per target, so that's going to be an efficiency number for him. He was 1.42 his rookie season, which is okay. And he got injured, you know, so he only played about half the year. In 2015, the first 9 weeks of the season, he was 1.75. So he got a little bit more efficient, probably got a little bit better. Maybe him and Bortles were more on track. And then the second half of 2015, he was 2.35 points per target. That's a significant jump, you know, 0.6 from first half to second half. And then this last year was 1.3. I mean, that's significantly going down. So what happened? So why was there this huge jump? And I think that you need to kind of dive in deeper, because people are concerned with what he did this last year, because he still had 151 targets and just didn't produce. When you look at the first half of 2015, it was 1.75 points per target. But then Allen Hurns also had a good season. He was 2.28 points per target. So he was still efficient. The second half of the year, Hurns got a concussion, hurt his hamstring, hurt his quad, I think, too. He was beat up. Hurns still was 2.01 points per target the second half of the year. But that's when Robinson went to 2.35. So Hurns is hurt. Lee was hurt. As we know, Lee kind of always has been, at least his first 2 years. And Robinson kind of eat, you know, a lot of those targets, those garbage time touchdowns, as we know. Then this last year, when he went to 1.3, Lee was finally healthy. Lee averaged 1.58 points per target. Hurns was 1.33, even though he disappeared. And so that shows you he's kind of been one of the least efficient guys in his career at Jacksonville, which is surprising because when you look at his yards per reception this last year, he had 12.1. So he operated more closer to the line of scrimmage. I know in 2015, he went down the field more. But Hurns was 13.6 yards per reception this last year. Lee was 13.5. So they went down the field further, and they were still more efficient than him. That makes it really concerning for me. So I don't know if that's defensive presence, if that's attention. You know, they're trying to bracket him more. And, you know, if people are trying to, you know, he's going to return to that 2015 form, you know, he's got to go down the field more. And they just drafted D.D. Westbrook, and that's what he does well. So I'm really concerned to invest 12, you know, it was ADP last month. Now you said 15, Ryan. And that's concerning when he's getting outproduced on his own team efficiency-wise.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be concerned about with Robinson. You mentioned that they drafted Westbrook, who could eventually man that slot role. But they also drafted Fournette. You know, they drafted Fournette. They drafted a fullback. They drafted and signed some guys to improve their offensive line. And they brought in Tom Coughlin, who we know likes to run the ball in kind of that power run game. All of these signs are pointing towards, well, I guess pointing against Robinson as far as going back to 2015. And what fantasy owners really have to decide is 2015 the real Robinson or is 2016 the real Robinson? And I love the guy. I've got him on several of my teams, but I've got some concerns. I know we had Scott Baird on a few weeks ago. He shared a couple of stats that were also cause for concern with Robinson, basically that he feasts on poor defensive backs and those stronger DBs really dominate him. Matt, what have you seen with Robinson?
Yeah, he's interesting. I think he is a hot button topic because, you know, he has been up and down as a fantasy producer. I like the talent a lot. You know, if I'm a GM, I got no problem making him, you know, basically my number one receiver. I think he has a lot of upside to continue to get better. His situation is interesting. I have cautious optimism that Bortles is more the 15 version as opposed to the 2016 version of him. I think Bortles will be better this year than last year. And I think they've made Bortles' life easier with a better line than people realize. But like you said, I mean, their defense is going to be really good. They're going to be run first, play action, deep shots, which, you know, kind of brings you back to D.D. Westbrook. I mean, that's a guy that I think that'll be in that role. But what's interesting that we haven't touched on with Robinson is he's a free agent after the year. And I can't figure out, is he in a good situation, an awful situation, or just an average situation? So if he were to happen to leave, is there a better chance that he would get a bump or a spike? And the last thing I wanted to mention, too, just why the floor was him being the 15th pick overall, to me, is not a good value pick at all. I mean, to me, that's too early for him. But the last time I checked, that neighborhood of the draft is somewhere I don't want to be at all. The guys going around him aren't much more appealing to me.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Matt. And just to speak on that late first, early second round range, guys going around him in our July ADP, DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Devontae Freeman, Melvin Gordon, Brandon Cooks. So all of those guys have some questions depending on how you like to build teams. For me personally, it's wide receiver heavy early on, so I'm probably avoiding those running backs. Hopkins, just like Robinson, had a down year last year and still has some quarterback questions. We don't know how Watson's going to work out, of course, there in Houston. Yeah, really that late first, early second is kind of no man's land. I really either want to move up or down from those picks if that's where I end up in a startup draft. Nick, the other player I saw you mentioning on Twitter, and I jumped into this conversation a little bit as well and would love for you to share some of your thoughts on Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, this one got a lot of opposition, more so than the Robinson one. And again, I want to reiterate, it's a pure value discussion. I like Jamison Crowder as a football player. He's kind of one of those gritty players that every team wants. They want that slot guy that's going to do all of the work. But his ADP is 44, and I think that's just almost right near where his ceiling is going to be, especially when you look at, you know, other guys that have kind of gotten hyped that are his size and position. I mean, like a Shepherd. I'm sorry to mention Cobb, but Cobb has a better resume than he does. You know, John Brown, like all these other small guys, they've faded. they faded really hard. And right now I feel like people only want to, you know, drink the Kool-Aid and they're not looking at the downside. But so when you look at Crowder, he's a small guy, 5'8", 185. His combine was really less than memorable. And I'm not a combine guy, but you can see on the field, he's just not an elite athlete or a very good athlete. He just is a football player. But his statistics, to me, don't say but at all. Rookie year, 59, 604, and 2 touchdowns on 78 targets. So, you know, that's not bad. That's pretty efficient. Last year, 67, 847, and 7 on 99 targets. So he increased his numbers overall, but he was still wide receiver 32. And so right now he has an ADP of 44. Sean McVay's gone. I don't know if you guys have watched the All or Nothing, but I've been pretty impressed with him. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen there in terms of usage. I know it's Jay Gruden's offense, but still, we don't know. A new guy could have new wrinkles or not use the slot as much. Cousins' contract situation is still up. He could leave after the year. And Garcon and Deshaun are gone, which I know people are high on them, but I'm really high on Terrell Pryor. I think he's one. He's a very underrated talent. He's there now. And Josh Doxson, I'm a really high on him. He's healthy. They brought in Quick, who I know people want to discard, but I think he's decent. Robert Davis got some hype. And for an ADP of 44, I mean, how many more targets does he have in 2017 to justify that? And long-term, how many targets he's going to get per year? That's the other conversation. This is a dynasty discussion. There are many guys behind him that I'd rather have. I mean, Tyreek Hill is, you know, I can get him almost a round later at ADP 53, ADP of 55. And one of my favorites is Cameron Meredith is ADP of 78. I mean, that's fantastic value when I can get, you know, wait three rounds and get him instead of Crowder.
Yeah, and the other concern with Crowder as well, and to be clear, I agree with almost everything you said, Nick. I really like Crowder. If I have him on my team, you know, I'm content with that. I'm just surprised I'm surprised at his ADP. He's basically been a fourth or fifth rounder all offseason, and I'm just really shocked not only that he was there, but that he's been able to maintain that despite the addition of Pryor, the hope that many have for Dotson. But the other thing to think about with him is we don't know what's going to happen with Cousins. We've already seen Pryor perform and put up numbers with a bad quarterback. You know, maybe Crowder can do that too. We don't know who their quarterback is going to be in 2018. But that's certainly a question going forward. Matt, what are your thoughts on Jameson Crowder?
Another guy, I really like the player. You know, I mean, I think he's a high quality slot guy that can do some other things, can also stretch the field. He's not necessarily just a nickel and dimer. But, you know, if I get near the red zone, I like Doxson, Reed, and Pryor a lot better as options, you know, for sure. I don't know that Crowder is ever going to be a high touchdown guy. I'm not the biggest Cousins fans, as everybody seems to know, but I love this offense. I think this offense is very fantasy friendly, a good line. The scheme, I think, is really good. But I have a hard time. Who do I want? You know, because I like all those players. I like Doxson a lot. I like Pryor an awful lot. You love Reed. I mean, to me, he's the straw that stirs the drink. And Crowder. But I almost think you need one of those guys to get hurt, which probably will happen at some point. And then you're really talking. But in the meantime, I just don't know that the pie is big enough to feed all them.
Yeah, just going back to ADP that Nick and I both mentioned, in June, Crowder's ADP was 46. That put him right behind Derrick Henry, right behind Dante Moncrief. We've talked about Pryor. He's in that range as well, Corey Coleman. And Crowder's actually being drafted ahead of DeMarco Murray, Crowell, Jordan Reed, Lamar Miller, Mike Williams, Martavis Bryant. That's a whole nother conversation. Devontae Parker, Tyreek Hill. I think some of those guys, I mean, the upside is huge with Bryant, Hill, and Parker specifically. I'd easily rather have any of those guys than Crowder.
Yeah, and maybe you said this and I missed it, but I assume that's for PPR, right?
Yes, yeah, that's PPR.
Okay, because obviously he has more value in PPR than, you know, you can see where somebody wouldn't be as fond of Bryant or one of those type of guys, although I would rather have the guys you mentioned as well over Crowder. Yeah.
All right, let's get into that Devy conversation a little bit. And before we talk about any specific players, Nick, I would just love to hear, I guess, some of the background. You've already mentioned your coaching experience when it comes to both high school and college football. Is that really where the scouting of college football players was born?
Actually, no. It'd start with Saturday mornings. I'd watch taped NFL drafts instead of cartoons. I've just always had, you know, the sickness. Is that Matt Harmon that calls that the sickness, or I don't want to either
Ross
you have
Tucker
it or
does often. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's, you know, that's what I did. I just loved it. You know, I would have Mel Kiper's guide every year, and, you know, I'd sit down and watch it with my dad every pick, and it's kind of always just been my thing. And then, you know, as you mentioned, the college coaching, that just took that to another level. I mean, we sit here on our couches and we're like, oh yeah, we know football, but man, when you get into a program, I mean, Matt can speak to this. I mean, football is way bigger and way more intense than you really think it is and complex. So yeah, that certainly helped. I mean, being able to look at schemes and to look at recruiting, to look at all these things from another angle. And then I just kind of took that, and I've always played fantasy football. And my one league really jump-started this. I have a league that, humble brag, I've won 3 out of the last 4 years. So that's actually a dynasty.
Very nice.
First I've had of that one. But that draft, the rookie draft in that league, you draft the players before the NFL draft. So it's purely scouting. And that draft, when McFadden and Mendenhall and Chris Johnson, all those guys came out, at the 4th and 5th pick overall, I took Matt Forte and Jamaal Charles, which, I mean, if you think of that class, they weren't thought of in that regard. And those two worked out well. Now, again, I've had many that haven't worked out. But that was like...
Wasn't there 4 first-round picks that year? You know, like Felix Jones and Mendenhall, McFadden. So, like you said, those two that you got were probably not sought after like the other guys.
Yeah, yeah, Jonathan Stewart too. Yeah, no, exactly. So that gave me the first taste of like, hey, maybe I do know a little bit more of this and I should dive in deeper. Then it got into Devy and it just kind of has taken off from there that, you know, maybe I have an eye for this and I should try to exploit it.
So it sounds like that's what eventually led you to putting it all together and writing the Devy report, which I love. I mentioned earlier that my Devy auctions are going now in some of my leagues, and I've just got that window open with the Devy report that I refer to several times a day as I'm looking at players and considering which players to target. So talk about kind of that history of starting the Devy report and how it's grown.
Yeah, well, I remember when I first started at DLF with you, we were talking about Devys, and I had this big spreadsheet of players and notes and stats and stuff. And, you know, I just kind of always do that. I don't really do anything halfway. And just a conversation with Matt Caraccio at Saturday to Sunday Football. He was saying, man, dude, you should like make something. I'm sure people would love to like see this in a more in-depth form. And I was like, okay, you sure? And he's like, yeah. So, you know, me hearing that, the first year I made 104 pages, you know, that's me going to like, let's not do a 50 page thing. Let's do a 104 page thing, you know? So, yeah, that was the first year I made it. And, you know, it was like probably the worst, editing and, you know, errors and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it just kind of evolved from there. People liked it. So I did it again. It was 144 pages, 2 years ago. And then, this last year was 178 pages, and it just takes on a life of its own, but people like it, and I appreciate the support, so I keep making it.
Ryan, before we get any further, I think we just need to mention a couple things to our listeners, because I don't play Devy. I respect it quite a bit, but generally on the Dynasty Blueprint, we don't talk Devy. So I bet there's a lot of people out there listening that are kind of like, well, what exactly is it? Can you just give us, you know, Ryan, can you just kind of give us just the nickel speech of what exactly Devy is? What does Devy stand for? You know, how far back do you go? Are you drafting kids when they're in junior high? How far back do you go?
Sure. So basically Devy stands for developmental players. And as I mentioned earlier, that essentially means you're putting college players onto your dynasty roster before they even get to the NFL. And just like any dynasty league, there's lots of variations of what that looks like from league to league, as far as how many players, how deep is it, and then what restrictions are there. And in some leagues you can even draft high school players, which none of mine are quite that deep or that extreme, I don't think, but that's out there a little bit at least. For the most part, most leagues, they have to be college players. And most leagues are wide open. So as long as they're in college, freshman to senior, they are eligible. But yeah, you draft them, you put them on your team, you wait for them to get to the NFL, and once they're there, they just transition. They don't go through the rookie draft or rookie auction that you might have in your league. They just go straight to your roster, stay there, and are now part of your team.
So one question along those lines. So say this stud recruit, five-star running back, goes to Georgia. You both are highly aware of him at that point, right? I mean, before he even walks on campus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, and that's, to me, that's part of the fun. I've sure. always been a college football fan, sit down and catch a couple games on Saturday. But just as Dynasty can kind of improve that experience of watching and following the NFL, Devy does the same thing for college football, in my opinion, at least. So now I'm watching more games. I'm aware of more players. I'm following recruiting closer than I ever have. And you mentioned the Georgia thing. I'm not sure if that was a coincidence or not, but Georgia has right now two of the top Devy running backs that are going to be seniors this year. They also have one of the top freshmen from last year. They have one of the top incoming freshmen from this year, and they just signed or just got a commitment from the number one high school running back. And yeah, those are all things that I follow, that Nick certainly follows for his research in the Devy Report, and that really most Devy owners are keeping up with.
Okay. Very cool.
Nick, you talked about the kind of the growth of the Devy Report over the years. This year, it's up to 178 players. You covered over 178 pages. You covered over 250 prospects in that. What is that process like? That, to me, that seems overwhelming. I talked a little bit about how much I love college football and try to watch as much as I can, but that seems like a daunting task. Are you just watching as much film as you can, as many games? Are you reading some of the different websites that are out there? How do you just churn out information on that many players?
I go kind of crazy, really. I have this, and I assume anyone that makes something like this or a rookie guide or whatever, I always have this anxiety that I'm going to miss out on a guy. I'm going to forget a guy. He's going to slip through, and it happens every year. I mean, there's guys that do, and you know, at some point I have to have a cutoff and I have to just be realistic with what it is. But I look at, there's a few lists that I go to. I mean, CBS has a solid long listing of prospects. NFL Draft Scout has a long list of prospects. I go to 24/7 Sports. I go to Rivals, ESPN, all those places. And you can find the incoming classes or guys that had decent freshman or sophomore years. And I can start with that list. But the one thing to think of is when these recruiting classes are going on, they give a star rating. And I think it's almost more so on how these college players are going to perform in college. I'm looking at how they're going to do in the NFL. So I'm scouting them from a different angle. But so that process works. I mean, I get that list together. I watch players. I mean, I watch plays from, I mean, it could be Huddle, it could be YouTube, it could be Draft Breakdown, it can be Twitter, 24/7 Sports has clips sometimes. So I watch them, I mean, plays multiple times. I even watch prospects multiple times because we have bias when we watch a player on a given day. We might have a bad day. We might be optimistic. You have to watch each player and not have this, I want to find a guy that's awesome, or, hey, I want to dislike this guy. You have to be even keel. So that's why I watch them multiple times. Many times I want to watch running backs all at the same time. And I can't watch, you know, Zeke Elliott and then go watch this kid in high school. I mean, very different athletes, very different sizes.
Right.
You have to keep the context in there. So that's why I watch them multiple times to make sure that I don't have a bias. I'll probably watch a player with a good amount of time involved at least three or four different times before it's all said and done. That helps with ranking them within their class. That helps with making sure all of the thoughts are out there. I didn't miss anything. And then when you do that for, you know, 250 plus guys, and that's going to take a lot of time. But I think, you know, that's what needs to happen in a process. But, you know, and that's why you're going to miss guys too. I can't do 350, at least not now.
But what's different with what you do is you probably, you know, if the stud running back from Georgia goes to Georgia, gets a handful of snaps as a freshman year, I mean, are you watching year after year and just adding to your reports all the time? Is it just a constant report, or do you crinkle it up and start a new one every year?
I crank a new one out every year. So, I mean, case in point, let's talk about a guy like LJ Scott. So he's going to be a draft eligible running back. His first year when I scouted him, he was almost more in that plotter category because he's a thick guy. I don't see enough quick twitch, et cetera. And then when I re-scouted him this next year, now again, I already have that base in my head. So again, that could be some bias, but I watched him like, wow, he is quicker. He's more athletic. I like his decision-making more. So it really kind of transformed how I thought about LJ Scott. So, I mean, I essentially re-scout the guys every year. It helps that I have a base and I'm familiar with them, but I give them a fresh profile.
Hey, I want to tell you guys, it's been a while since we've had a Dynasty Blueprint, but I hope you guys have not forgotten about our buddies over at Loot Crate. So be the envy of your friends and get 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/DynastyBlueprint and enter our code DynastyBlueprint, and that saves you $3 off a month off an already cheap subscription. This month, July, the Loot Crate theme is animation. So if you're on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. It's the best surprise you know is coming every month. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month and even cheaper when you use our code. If you're more into the fanatical fascinata, then try Loot Wear. They're monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises. If you want to get fancy, get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. And you get crazy and geek out your pet, try Loot Pets. All this expires at July 19th at 9 p.m., this month's theme. But this month, I told you, is animation. You're going to find Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Bob's Burgers, Futurama, and Rick and Morty. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When the cutoff happens, it's over. So go to lootcrate.com/DynastyBlueprint, enter the code DynastyBlueprint, and you will save $3 off an already cheap subscription.
Nick, let's look at some specific players now. I want to start with the class of 2018. We've seen just in recent years some disappointing rookie classes and some that were really hyped, like this class of 2017 that we've been dealing with over the past few months. And whether you play Devy or not, I think it's very important to know about this incoming rookie class. You want to know what your rookie picks might be worth. If they're projecting to be high picks, you want to become familiar with a few of these key names. But overall, how are you viewing the 2018 class?
Overall, I think it's a pretty solid class. I think it's going to be comparable to this last year's class, honestly. Some guys went back to school from this last year, so that really hurt the 2017 class, and some guys emerged like every year. But we're going to see potentially three studs at least, and it's going to be stronger at quarterback. It's going to be weaker at tight end, but overall I think it's really comparable.
Yeah, you mentioned the strength at quarterback. It seems like it's been years since we had a really strong quarterback group, even though we've seen guys like Trubisky and Wentz going in the top two at the top of the draft. But next year just seems stacked. You've got Josh Rosen, you've got Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and then even further down the line, guys like Falk and Mason Rudolph and others. Just from that top group of quarterbacks, who are a couple of your favorites?
Well, you had mentioned them. I mean, my top guy is Josh Rosen. I know he's coming off of injury, but he really is, I think, the darling of the class. I mean, he has the arm, but when you scout a quarterback, you need everything. And I think he progresses through his reads well. I like his feet in the pocket. He's got touch, his play fakes, his play actions. Everything from a freshman year was awesome. He got hurt his sophomore year, and honestly, he tried to do a bit too much. Didn't handle pressure as well. So this next year is going to be really telling for him, but he has the talent to be a franchise guy. And I don't like saying the word franchise often because I think people say, oh, he's a franchise quarterback, and then you're looking at 20 NFL franchise quarterbacks. I don't like that. He has the potential to be a top five guy in the NFL. So he's the top of the list. My next guy is actually Josh Allen, quarterback Wyoming. He had a lot of hype. I remember last year at one point went back to school. Matt, I'm not sure if you've watched him or not. He has the strongest arm I've ever seen. And I don't throw those things out there, but he does. Have you seen him?
I haven't watched them, but I've started to read about these guys more so than I have in most years. And that was exactly what I was going to ask you, was Allen's ability to throw the football is what I'm reading true? And it sounds like you already answered it, but I mean, he's got a better arm than Stafford or Mahomes or any of these guys.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, he's 6'6", 6'7". He throws that ball so hard and he can fit into tight windows, which is a blessing and a curse because he loves every throw. Okay. He thinks he can make everything. So he has, you know, the Brett Favre, the great plays, then he has like the terrible plays. But when you're at Wyoming and you're facing Nebraska per se, you have to make everything happen. Your guys aren't going to out-athlete anybody. So he also can run a little bit. So this next year, I'm hoping to see him make better decisions. But man, that guy has the most talent out of the whole class.
No, you think he has the highest ceiling?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, Rosen's a franchise guy, but I mean, Allen could just be arm. I mean, strongest arm I've seen, but he still can do touch. I see some great accuracy, not afraid to take a hit, make a throw. Yeah, he's got some real good stuff going on. I know Sam Darnold has some hype too. I'm not as big on Sam Darnold. I mean, he's number three in the class for me pretty easily. Doesn't have the arm of Allen or Rosen. He's really calm in the pocket. It's almost odd how calm he is with people around him. So that's a good trait to have as a quarterback. So he's a guy to watch out of USC, especially with all the weapons that they have at their disposal out there. The next guy for me is Luke Falk, Washington State. I know people don't like quarterbacks in those systems, but Luke Falk reminds me of a Cousins, of a Brady, that, you know, maybe an Andy Dalton type, where he's really fundamental. He does everything well, makes multiple reads, solid arm. Washington State receivers dropped a lot of passes, but man, I was really impressed with Luke Falk. I was surprised. I think he could be mid, late first round pick and worst early second round pick in the NFL draft. And then probably the next guy would be Lamar Jackson, great athlete, but you know, there's questions to be had there as well.
Is it safe to say that Lamar Jackson's a better college player than he is prospect at this point?
You know what? The tough part about Jackson is I think Lamar Jackson's a better running quarterback than Michael Vick is. And I know that's tough to say, but he just has natural cutting ability. I mean, he's a legit runner. Vick was out-athleting everybody because he's just that good of an athlete. But Jackson's a great athlete, but he can make those running back pressure cuts and set people up to do good things. He's in that same category. How about that? I mean, we don't say he's better than Vick, but he's in the same category. Now, Vic had a stronger arm.
I remember the year I was with the Browns, I had nothing to do with Atlanta, and we would just go watch Vic runs just for something to do because they were so jaw-dropping. I mean, he was unbelievable when he came out of school.
Yeah, no, he was. I mean, even as, what was it, a freshman in some of those big games, I mean, he was making some things happen to Virginia Tech.
Insane.
But as far as the arm with Jackson, I mean, that's what we need to know, right? I mean, he's got a good enough arm. My questions for Lamar Jackson are, I don't see him progressing through reads well, pre-snap reading defenses. I have issues with deep ball accuracy, which is the same issue JT Barrett's had his whole career at Ohio State, and why I don't think he's going to be an NFL guy, because you have to be accurate when you're going to face pressure, or else they're just going to keep pressuring you. So those are things that we need to see happen with Lamar Jackson, but I think he can be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and that's certainly the big question with Jackson is he even going to get a chance to play the position? Based on what you're saying and based on many mock drafts that I've seen, and you know, we know what those are worth, and that's a fun exercise, but that doesn't have a ton of value a year down the road. But there are many of these guys putting together mock drafts that not only have him listed as a quarterback, but have him listed as a first round quarterback potentially next year. So, and Matt, going back to your question on Jackson, I think it's certain that he's a better college player than an NFL prospect. I mean, he won the Heisman Trophy. So, you know, by definition, he was the best player in college football last season. And we don't even know if he's going to get to play that position. So that's not a knock on him. I just think that goes to how great he was last year and the clear questions about him playing the position going forward. Nick, let's move on to the running back position now. It looks like another strong group in 2018. We don't have to talk much about Saquon Barkley or Darius Geis. Those are the top two guys, and it seems like most people prefer Barkley, but they're at least in the conversation against each other. what I'm more interested in hearing from you is how they compare to some of the top running backs from the past couple of years, specifically in with a fantasy football or dynasty football mindset. So, of course, we have Ezekiel Elliott and then the foursome from this year, Fournette, Mixon, McCaffrey, and Cook. How would you rank Barkley and Geis in with those players?
That's a really good question, Ryan. So let's take out off-field concerns, injury concerns, and draft pedigree, because I think that's how you have to do an exercise like this. You can't assume, you know, Elliott went where he did and Fournette went where he did, because we don't know where Barkley and Geis are going to go. I'd have Barkley one. I still have concerns about Barkley, his interior running, because I think he bounces a little bit too much, but his cutting ability is just awesome. I'd have Elliott two, Fournette three, which I think people are really down on Fournette, but you have to remember he was hurt this last year. Watch his 2015 tape. It's a little different there. Then I'd have Geis, who reminds me of a better version of Jonathan Stewart. I mean, he is just a load to bring down. I mean, and I know people think of Jonathan Stewart and they're like, man, he's not very good with the Panthers. Watch Jonathan Stewart coming out of Oregon. Ooh. He was a really darn good running back.
I mean, yeah, he was.
Size, speed was, oh, he returned kicks there too. And then I would have probably Cook, Mixon, and then McCaffrey.
So, Ryan, just a quick question for you. Would it absolutely blow you away if typical rookie drafts a year from now, Barkley and Geis aren't at the very, very top, right?
Yeah, I think as of now, and again, I've done for DLF a 2018 rookie mock, and that probably has as much value as those NFL mock drafts that I just mentioned, but it's still a fun exercise. And there's a player that I think we'll probably talk about in a minute that I know Mr. Whalen likes that could challenge those two guys. But for now, yeah, it's certainly Barkley and Geis at the top. If you are, you know, if you look like you're going to have a top two pick in 2018, or you want to target in a trade, maybe a team that is likely to finish at the bottom of your league standings, then those are the guys you have in mind, Barkley and Darius Geis. But Nick, after those two, what is for you, what does the rest of the top five look like? It seems like it's a pretty huge tier after those two players.
In terms of running backs or overall?
Yeah, in terms of running backs. Sorry.
No, you're fine. And I saw this question on the agenda, and of course I wrote down, I think, 12 or 15 names. So, but I think that this is also just a really, there's a lot of guys that have a chance, and I kind of wanted to mention them all quickly if I could, but my next guy is Nick Chubb. I mean, how sad the injuries. I mean, that's the worst part of this entire game, is to see guys and they're not going to realize their potential. I hope Nick Chubb can return to form. Even if it's just confidence in that knee, I think what he did this last year was actually pretty good considering, you know, the knee injury that he did have. But he'd be my next guy, hoping that he can have that size-speed combination. The thing that people don't realize with Nick Chubb, he has really good instincts. He knows when to hit a defender to get more yardage or when to cut in at the right time. And those things, you can't, you know, write those down at a combine. So I really like that part of him. My fourth guy would be Ronald Jones II at USC. Reminds you of like that Jamal Charles, Melvin Gordon type of guy where he's skinny. He needs to keep putting weight on. And guess what? He put on 10 pounds this last year. So you're hoping he can put another 10 on because he's 195 right now. But super quick, quicker than fast. Still runs probably mid 4.4s, maybe low 4.4s. Has been over 6 yards per carry both years. I mean, he's slippery. He's one of those slasher guys that just somehow just keeps breaking tackles and making big plays. So it'll be interesting to see him out there being the top guy and getting all the carries. I'm high on him. Kalen Ballage is just very polarizing. He's 6'3". He's 220, 230. He caught, I think, 44 passes last year, had 10 or 12 rushing touchdowns. I mean, he's a really good athlete. Because he's tall, he has issues cutting laterally. He's not going to be as great as some of the other guys, but he can run with power. He has speed. He's a good athlete. Arizona State didn't utilize him that well. They have DeMario Richard out there, and they utilized him almost equally. It was really odd. So you're hoping he gets to showcase more, but he certainly has really good potential. Miles Gaskin at Washington, smaller guy. He's going to get into that Amir Abdullah category and conversation because he's small, but he's been productive. Akrim Wadley, he's going to remind you of a better Theo Riddick, poor version, maybe LeSean McCoy. Amazing cutting running back. Get him in space. He's going to make everyone look bad. My next guy was actually Raleigh Williams III. I have to mention him, Matt or Ryan. I know that we're both fans, so sorry. Raleigh Williams, I know you had to retire because your spinal injury, so everyone knows that at Arkansas, but had to throw him in there. Bo Scarborough, LJ Scott, I mentioned them. Mark Walton at Miami, he's got a shot. Shannon Brooks, I like him out of Minnesota. Jordan Scarlett ran a lot tougher this last year at Florida. He's a really good athlete. Damian Harris at Alabama, he ran for over 1,000 yards. For some reason, everyone forgets about him. Sonny Michel at Georgia. And then lastly, I'm going to mention Royce Freeman. I'm not as high as everyone else is. I don't see enough quick twitch, but he's certainly been productive.
So it's pretty safe to say that this running back class has serious star power and depth.
Correct.
Okay.
So that gives us the top five for you of Barkley, Geis, Chubb, Ronald Jones II, and Balazs from Arizona State. But you gave us another 8 to 10 guys there. I mean, that's getting you, if you're thinking about a rookie draft in 2018, or if you're thinking about a Devy draft that you might be doing over the next few weeks, that's getting you into the second, third, fourth round of drafts. And again, just speaks to the depth of that group. So I gave a little teaser about, I think it's fair to say, your favorite college player. I think that's probably true.
Easily.
And for those of you who don't follow Nick's work, I think I've said it on this podcast before and in other spots as well. I didn't know who Corey Davis was until Nick told me. And the same thing is true of this guy, Cortland Sutton from SMU. I actually visited SMU's campus recently. Nick is sporting the hat right now. And I looked for Cortland Sutton for you, Nick, but I couldn't find him. Sorry.
I'm trying to find a jersey so bad. If anyone out there has a Cortland Sutton jersey, hook me up. I will buy it.
So Nick, tell us what it is. What do you see with Sutton that makes him your guy?
I mean, there's times when you just see guys that have special potential, and that's what Sutton has had for a while. He's 6'4", 215, 220, but he moves and bends and is flexible like a guy much smaller than his size. I mean, in that way, it reminds me almost of Brandon Marshall, how Marshall can do things that, you know, guys his size just shouldn't be able to do in terms of cutting ability, in terms of jump balls, how he moves. And he also has a big catch radius. He's strong. I think he's going to run 4.5 or better. And he's just continually getting better. This last year, his route running got a lot better. He was stemming guys, and he just made tons of plays. And again, he's a marked guy. He's basically the only guy at SMU. They actually did just get a transfer, Trey Quinn. If you remember him, former five-star guy at LSU, he transferred to SMU. But, you know, he's just continually produced. He was top 10 in yardage in FBS last year, and it's just going to get better. I mean, when you want to think of his ceiling, he has top 5 ceiling, and I see almost a Brandon Marshall type talent that is going to go to the NFL.
Nick, do you know how he got to SMU? I mean, that's like an immediate red flag to me. Did he go the JC route, or did he have grade issues, or is he just a late bloomer, or, you know, why isn't he at Texas or Oklahoma or something like that?
Yeah, he was a safety prospect, safety and almost better safety than wide receiver, which has kind of been a theme, Matt. I mean, Marquise Lee was almost more of a safety than he was a wide receiver at USC, and so was Juju, I believe.
So, Nick, with Sutton, I know you obviously see him as the clear wide receiver one in that 2018 class. I agree with you. Some others don't. Others view some of these other wide receivers as being close with him, from at least from a fantasy perspective. But after Sutton, it's really wide open. They're kind of like that second tier of running backs. I think it's Sutton and then straight to the second tier of wide receivers. But you have guys like Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Deion Kane, Auden Tate, James Washington are just a few. I'm sure you have some other names for us. Which of those guys do you think is overrated?
I have to mention quickly, Equanimeous St. Brown. was left off. He's my number two. Overrated in that
group.
Where's
he play at?
Notre Dame.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that name.
Yeah, well, Equanimeous St. Brown and then Osiris St. Brown, and then they have another brother. I mean, they're all talented guys. Watch out for those St. Browns about to take over the world, I feel like, at wide receiver. But for overrated, I would say Christian Kirk. And I know people are really high on him. I'm just different. He's the number 10 wide receiver in my class. And I think he's a really good athlete. I don't think he's an elite athlete. People are going to want to watch highlight tapes, and they're going to see a lot of returns from him. Well, I don't get return points in my fantasy leagues. You know, he doesn't have great ball skills. He's not a hands catcher. In terms of route running, he got better this last year, but he's running maybe quick routes. But as Matt knows, when you scout a guy, you have to run routes that beat a defender. You have to set up the defender, not just run a really quick route. And so he doesn't have those wide receiver traits yet. And in a way, almost reminds me of a poor version of Percy Harvin. We know what happened with him. You have to manufacture touches and things like that. So I don't know that he's going to be a great wide receiver. He might be a good weapon in the NFL. And for me, that doesn't translate to a high ranking.
That's funny. We say that a lot on the show. Like, boy, it's really interesting. You know, these guys come out and like, we'll just get him in space. You know, he's a gadget guy. Just get the ball in his hands. Well, you're a coach. I mean, easier said than done, let alone at the NFL level, where the hash marks are different. There's not a huge wide side of the field. All the defensive players can run like crazy. Those gadget guys rarely work.
Nick, anybody else stand out from that class that you want to share some thoughts on?
Equanimeous is number two for me. I mean, he's just very high floor. And I'm really big into guys that give good effort, because I think that's something that we kind of take for granted. If you're an effort guy, that means you put in a lot of work ethic, which is what Corey Davis does, which is what Cortland Sutton does, and St. Brown does. So, you know, when you have guys that work hard, I think those are guys you really should invest in long-term. But, Deion Kane has been growing on me a little bit. I know he's kind of had a few run-ins and was in the coach's doghouse at Clemson. Auden Tate is just a mammoth of a man. I mean, when you want to think of like a poor version of Sutton, that's kind of what Auden Tate is at Florida State. So he's big, big catch radius, not as quick twitch as Sutton or as flexible, but he's certainly really athletic. Some other names there, Trent Irwin, he plays at Stanford. They don't throw a whole lot, but he's always been really high on my list. Antonio Callaway at Florida is really talented. Richie James, Middle Tennessee State, another small school guy. Man, that guy can do it all. And then a guy that has no college stats, I'm going to throw him out here, Ryan. Carlos Strickland. Kansas State, no college stats. I like him. He has good size. He redshirted his first year at Cal, transferred back to Kansas State because of his ailing grandfather. So, I hope his grandfather is in better health now, but he's always had a lot of potential for me.
All right, let's dig a little bit deeper for those of our listeners who are Devy players. The class of 2019, and specifically I want to focus on the wide receiver group. I've seen a lot of talk recently about this group being compared to those 2014 wide receivers, which we know brought us Odell Beckham and Mike Evans and so many others that are now cornerstones of dynasty rosters. Some names from that class that I would love to hear your thoughts on: N'Keal Harry, DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman, Tyree Cleveland, Amon Richards. Any of those guys, and I'm sure you have some others that you want to riff on a little bit.
I always have more names. it's a really good group. And, you know, I when I think of 2020, I think that's a good group too. I feel like these wide receiver classes are just getting taller and longer and more physical. And I don't know if that's from camps and more passing in high school. I don't know what it is, but man, these guys are just getting big. I mean, you had mentioned N'Keal Harry. He's not even my top guy. My top guy would be DK Metcalf at Ole Miss. Really reminds me of a better version of Jeffrey in terms of size, but well-rounded, but also great ball skills. And he can maneuver better this year. He got hurt last year. He only had two catches the whole season. They were both for touchdowns. So that shows you his ball skills as a true freshman. N'Keal Harry worries me a little bit because he does so many things well. He's physical, good size, ball skills, can run after the catch, but he's just not quick twitch. So in a way, he reminds me of maybe a better version of a Duke Williams, if you remember that name, some of those types of guys. So I still like his potential, though. I've seen some good work ethic from him, so I hold him in a higher regard. But just think of that quick twitch just isn't there for him. Michael Pittman, that is Michael Pittman's son. They remember the old running back. Again, effort is big to me. He's a big effort guy on the field. He's always putting in a lot of effort. 6'4", physical. He can really open up. Maybe a poor version of a Mike Evans type. He has that potential with these really long arms. He kind of has that same body style as well. Tyree Cleveland, he's just really quick twitch. 6'2", runs in the 4.3s. Not really good laterally. He has to jump cut to make things happen. But I really like some of the developmental stuff, releasing on the line. Things I saw from him this last year, and we'll see if he can build on that. Amon Richards was a surprise for me. I wasn't as high on him out of Miami, but he does, again, an effort guy that does a lot of things well, isn't super fast. I know there are reports of him running super fast. I don't see it. I see him more as a 4.6, maybe high 4.5s guy, but certainly put up some numbers. So I want to see him build on that. Again, I'll list off a bunch of guys here for you. Keith Gavin, Florida State. He has potential. Kyle Davis is a bully. I mean, he's a strong, strong guy, Auburn. Donnie Corley, if you were high on him, who I was, he just got dismissed from the Michigan State program, so I would cross him off your Debbie list. Nate Craig Myers, Auburn. You're reminding me of a little bit of a Keenan Allen type. Tyler Vaughns is really skinny. He needs to put on weight, but, man, that guy has ball skills and does everything that you want at USC. And then A.J. Brown at Ole Miss, he certainly has some good potential too. Not consistent athlete, but is a, is physical, but he does a lot of things well.
Yeah. Going back to Richards, it seems like, I don't know. It seems like every year, every couple of years, Miami has this young guy, freshman or maybe a breakout sophomore who flashes. And then by the end of their career, they're a dud. Stacy Coley
just thinking of him.
He's the recent offender, but I certainly hope Richards doesn't follow that path. But he did have an impressive freshman year. And
yeah. I mean, the things with Richards, I mean, he has so many things to work on. I mean, I think he runs faster without the ball in his hands. So I don't know if that's a confidence issue or what it is. He body catches almost everything. And I just can't rate a guy that high that body catches, because you know, when you go to the NFL, that separation gap is going to be shorter. When you catch it in your body, you know, the defender can knock it out. That's another 3 feet of area that's not going to be there, you know, in the NFL, and you're not going to make these catches. So, yeah, and plus I question the athlete that he is. So we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, you're right. One of them always gets hyped, and then it just kind of goes away.
Nick, let's wrap up today with the class of 2020. That is the incoming freshmen. Of course, we're talking about draft class, so some of those guys could stick around longer. We never know how that's going to play out. But who are some impact freshmen that Devy owners and college football fans in general should be looking for this coming season?
Nick, I would think it's really hard to say, boy, the 2020 class is going to be really good or really bad, right? I mean, I'm sure you're on top of this, but that's asking a lot to analyze a class as a whole that far down the road, right?
Yeah. No, it is. But, the only thing I can do is point to, I remember some of these guys last year and the year before, and just try to keep learning, and hopefully I can, you know, value them correctly. But it is tough, because when you think of Devy, the toughest part about this is that players are going to get bigger. They're going to get faster. There's just so much more variance than a rookie coming in.
Oh, the body's changed like crazy. Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, even position changes can happen. I mean, Devin White was a guy that I liked. Yeah. He's a running back / linebacker, and he turned and played linebacker at LSU. And then there's another guy I'm sure people know named Derrick Henry that was maybe going to play defense or running back and played running back. And they say Alabama. I mean, there's so many things that can happen. So, yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult for sure. The one guy that everyone's hyped about, and for good reason, is Cam Akers, Florida State running back. Played quarterback quite a bit in high school. He is the real deal, in my opinion. Really good athlete, good cutting ability, has the size. He could really take off as a freshman. So he's already ranked high in lots of Devy places, but if you can get him, I would get him. My top wide receiver is different than other people. I like Tariq Black, Michigan. Michigan also has Donovan Peoples-Jones. I know people are high end, but Tariq Black is 6'4", and he moves in a way that 6'4" guys shouldn't be able to move. And he made plays in the spring game, and, you know, just keep an eye on him. But Michigan has, I think, three of my top 7 or 8 wide receivers in this class. So Jim Harbaugh, A guy I'm a fan of is doing some good things there. So Donovan Peoples-Jones is a good athlete. I'd keep an eye on him. DeAndre Swift, we had mentioned Georgia before, right? Georgia has the, you know, Sony Michel and Chubb. They have Elijah Holyfield, my top running back last year. DeAndre Swift is my second best running back. They signed him. A big fan of his game. I mean, he low center of gravity, good balance, good power. He ran a 4.43 at that combine, so he's a really good athlete. He just has great potential. The problem is he going to see the touches? You know, is it going to turn to that Alabama where guys have to, Alvin Kamara has to transfer away to go get touches somewhere else? So those are some names to keep an eye on.
Nick, is there a program? This isn't really relevant to Dynasty, but is there a program or two that could be on the come, you know, that has recruited really well the last 3 or 4 years or so, but they, you know, they could be one of the next big boys as we haven't quite, you know, that talent hasn't quite matured.
That's a good question.
I think a mid program that could take the jump.
See, I wouldn't say mid, but I mean, Ole Miss is just completely loaded with wide receivers down there. And I just got to think at some point they're going to put it together. I know, people, you know, Florida State is on the map, but man, I mean, I really like their wide receivers. I just mentioned, you know, Akers. I mean, so Florida State, I mean, we already mentioned Auden Tate, Evan, you know, they have other receivers. There are George Campbell that was highly touted before. Another one that slips my mind right now that I evaluate and I'm still high on them. And if you could put all that together, they could make a national championship run. In terms of a mid-tier program, that's a good question. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I guess Ole Miss qualifies.
Nick, Auburn is the one that comes to my mind. They've kind of in the same line as Ole Miss. Of course, not a small market team, if you want to use those terms, being in the SEC, but also loaded at wide receiver. They got Cameron Petway back at running back after he had a big year last year, and they may have solved their quarterback troubles with the transfer from Baylor, Stidham, I think it is. No. So that's another program that'll be fun to watch this fall. Nick, thanks so much for joining us today. Just tons of information on these Devy players and these college guys that we should all be watching. And before we wrap it up, just tell our listeners where they can find your work, especially the Devy Report.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys. It's always fun talking with you. On Twitter, I am @_NickWhalen. The Devy Report, we already mentioned it many times in here. It is at thedevyreport.com, Devy, D-E-V-Y. And then the podcast is Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast.
Thanks again, Nick. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.